Amen. Before you take your seat, can you just say this with me? This is my time.
This is my time.
This is my time.
This is my time.
I was born at the right time.
I was born at the right time.
At the right time.
At the right time.
And I will have my season.
And I will have my season.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. Give God praise. Hallelujah. Grab your seat. Grab your seat. Grab your seat. Amen. Greetings to everyone in the name of Jesus. Good to be here. We want to share with you some thoughts, some revelation which God has been sharing with me on this particular issue. This will take over 2 weeks to cover this. We're going to deal today with times and seasons. Amen. As with the natural, so with the spiritual. And we're going to deal with cycles next week. Permit me to, as usual, good to see Pastor Isaac Williams and Pastor Sally Williams here in the house. Always good to see good ministers in the house of God. And all of you. Amen. Praise God. And all you that are ministers here and whoever you are, God bless you. God bless you also, our wonderful Venetia, on an ever-increasing ministry in worship. Thank you for that. Amen. Now, I want to cover this ground, and whether I get through all of this or not will be an issue we will see. But I believe God wants to say something to you, and God wants to impart something and deal with some of the issues that are in the lives of his people. A lot of the issues that we have, in fact, you could say almost all the issues that we have, are really issues of time. Amen? And we will read the scriptures, we'll talk about that. And every time, has everyone ever reminded you of a particular incident and you remember the time clearly? In other words, it's almost as if time stood still at that point in time. Amen? And in the house of God today, there are many people today who you deal with, who you counsel, who you pastor, who you teach. And for them, literally, time has stood still. A certain issue happened in their life and they haven't moved past that point in time. Amen? Time then has dominion over their life. When Jesus came, he came to deliver us, not just from our issues, but from the legacy of time. Amen? Now, this is not what I want to say. Just want to say this. How many remember when Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead? And the Bible says, it was said to Jesus, but he's been dead 4 days. He's been dead in time. 4 days of time has passed. Time had, as it were, pronounced a legacy over Lazarus. It's over. Amen? Jesus said, but I am the resurrection and the life. I don't want to go ahead of myself. Here's this. The I am is always an answer to time. Time, we'll come into that in a second. I don't want to get too ahead of myself. What I want to say, I know some of you want me to go there, but hold on. Take your time. Pull up a gear. The I am is always an answer to time. In other words, whatever issue you are facing, which you can trace to a point in time, the I am is the answer to that issue. God will deal with that issue. Amen. And I believe tonight God's going to give you some wisdom that is ahead of time, that is out of time, that is from, not from this time, but from the time that is yet to come, that will help you achieve the things that you've been struggling to achieve so far. Amen. I'll come on to that. Amen. So let me take my time. Take my time. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, let's lay a foundation on this. Someone say time.
Time.
Amen. Now, in the English language, we only have one time, one word for time. In many cultures, and we talk about Greek because that's the foundation from which we get our Bible, there were two concepts of time, and we need to be understanding, aware of what they are. The Bible speaks of time as a succession of events. It's called chronos, which means from which we get the word chronological, chronometric, chronic, long. In other words, there's such a thing as this speaks of quantity of time. How much time have you got? Amen. A succession of time. 2 years, 3 years. It's chronos. But the Bible also, and the Bible picks up both of these words, the second concept, and this is very powerful. It speaks of kairos, and that means to say opportune time, the right time. It's a conducive time. It must be this time and no other. Let's give an example on this. When the Bible says you were saved, God saved you at an acceptable time, he used the word kairos. In other words, this is the opportune time, the right time. In Ephesians 5, verse 16, the Bible says redeem the time, for the days are evil. Hold on. Redeem, he uses that word kairos, redeem the opportune time. Redeem the time, redeem the purpose for which this time is here. Do you understand this? So two types of time. How many people know there's a time for a woman to give birth? Amen? There's a right time. Amen. 9 months. Now's the time. It's the right time. And you'll find biologically and physiologically, everything has now come together in agreement because this is now the time. There's a time for someone to be saved. Have you ever tried to witness to somebody and you realize they're just not hearing me? Come back a year later, for some reason, they're completely open to the gospel. Amen. Because now is their time. Amen. And let me say this to you that are trying to grow a ministry. There's a time for that ministry to grow. There's a time. Oh, I'm going to get more radical like this. There's a time for some people to leave your church. Did you know that? There's a time for some people to leave your life. There's a time. There's a time and a season. I haven't even gone into the scriptures yet. There's a time and a season for every purpose under heaven. There's a time for you to lose that friend. There's a time for them to come into your life. There's a time, amen, there's a time for me to get that job. There may be a time for me to lose that job. Amen. Time will bring all kinds of events into your life because it is a cycle. And time, we'll deal with that next week, is in fact a cycle. Amen. Today is what day? What day is it today? It's Wednesday, amen. You had to think about that. Amen. 7 days from today, what day is it going to be again?
Wednesday.
And 21 days?
Wednesday.
Amen. I lost my accounting. I can't count anymore. Suffice it to say, every 7 days is going to be Wednesday. In other words, time is a cycle. All time is a cycle. We'll come on to that in due course. But hear this. Let me just go through a few things so we put these in your spirit before I talk about some of the issues I want to say. Number one, time is a created dimension. It was created. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 1, God created the heavens and the earth. Then he says the evening and the morning were the first day. From verse 1 onwards, he then begins to work in time. Time did not exist before God began. God is before time. God is eternal. Eternity has no beginning. It has no end. God when he created matter, he created time to rule the matter. And he creates man in time to have dominion. Amen? Do you understand this? So Genesis 1 indicates, have you noticed every time God would tick off, he created, you know, the birds and the bees. He created man. He created all kinds of different things. And he would then list the day on which it happened. God was saying, I'm now working in time. I created time. I'm going to respect time and work with it. I want to say to you, God is still respecting time. We get frustrated because God is not moving according to our timetable. But God, from Genesis 1, has been working in time. Genesis 8:22 says, as long as the earth continues, what does it say? Seed time and harvest time shall continue. Amen. That's the key to time. Lot to say. Let me just say this about time. As far as time is concerned, it's very powerful. This is very exciting. Because I left school in 1985, which some people think is years ago. But, you know, I still think I'm young. I have noticed those who left school, we all left the school at the same time. We had completely different outcomes in life. Some have done better than me. A lot have done worse than me. Amen. Some are not even alive. The Bible says this, seed time, harvest time. Put the word in front of time. Seed. The time that you have right now is a harvest of what you sowed yesterday. If you don't like what's happening in this time, you better change what you're sowing. Because time, the time you are living right now, how you are living respects the seed that you've sown. Do you understand? Seed time and harvest time. Time is the result of what we do in Jesus' name. Let me go on and say other things as well here. Time comes out of eternity. Amen? It comes out of eternity. Remember, it's a created thing. Can you imagine this? Get your head around this concept for a minute. Time. There was a time where there was no time. That's even difficult to say that. I can't even say something like that. There was a time when there was no time. Imagine God has always been there and will always be there. Amen? That's powerful. And I won't even talk about the fact that Jesus said he's I am. So what was he saying about time? But we'll come on to that. Hey, so it comes out of eternity. Amen. Man was created to function in eternity and time. Amen. Man was meant to know God and to know time, to respect time. Amen. Praise God. Now, Go with me, please, if you have a Bible. I want to deal with this. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, well-known scripture. Amen. Foundation scripture. We can't talk about time without talking about this. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1. Let me read it for you. To everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven. Amen. Does your Bible say that?
Yeah.
Okay. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to pluck up what is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to gain and a time to lose. Amen. A time to keep and a time to throw away. A time to tear and a time to sow. A time to keep silence and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time of war and a time of peace. Now, in verse 1, Ecclesiastes 3 verse 1, there's two definitions, two different words it uses for time. The first time is the appointed time. Amen. And the second word, when it talks about a time, there's a season, that speaks of an appointed time. And a time for every purpose, it speaks of the right time. Hear this carefully so we understand this. The number one thing we need to understand now about time is that God created time for purpose. When God created time, he said there's a time for every purpose under heaven. So therefore, for every purpose, there is a time. And time does not exist without purpose. So therefore, if your purpose has not yet been completed, you have a right to be here. Do you understand this? When I was in America some years ago, and the Lord said, before you get on the plane, pray in the spirit, I said, okay, what's going on? I got on the plane, the captain said, we've had some problems with the engine, so I just thought you'd know that, okay. Praise the Lord, get me to London, please. Hallelujah, praise the Lord. But it wasn't my time to die, because it was my purpose had not yet been fulfilled. Amen? Now, I want to say this to you. When you go down the shopping list of Ecclesiastes 3 verse 1, 2 down to 8, do you not agree that that basically sums up the whole of life? Amen? It's almost as if somebody's looked at all the things that could go well and could go wrong. And he says, man, there's a time for everything. Every one of those things are going to happen in life. Amen? So the church has got to mature and grow up to understand there's no good trying to pray that people aren't going to die because it's going to happen. Amen? You yourself are going to die one day. The Bible says there's a time when I will die. It tells me in advance. Even if I didn't get it myself, I know it. The Bible says there's a time to be born and there's a time to die. Now, hear this. Here's the issue we've got with this concept of time. A lot of people can't move past a phase of time. They're stuck in a dimension of yesterday. They haven't moved on. Amen? Some people, and I'm careful here when I say this, some people are still mourning. As an example, something died, you lost a job, you lost a relative, you lost a child, and for you, time stood still. You haven't moved on. Do you know that the Bible says the Jews were meant to mourn for the dead for 30 days, that's it. Then they were meant to move on. There was a time, was it Samuel, who he was mourning for Saul, and God said, how long are you going to mourn for him? I've rejected him. I have moved on. And some of you need to move on. Amen? Now that sounds a bit harsh. Let me flip the other side of this. This is maturity. You still need to mourn. You do need to mourn. You do need to go through that time. Do you understand? God sends time for a reason. The wisdom is to fulfill the purpose of time. Amen? I'll give you my testimony on this. When my mother died back in 2000, amen? And I was at work at the time. And I remember, and I was very professional. I remember I was in a team meeting. I was managing this team meeting. And then I got a call, need to come and see you. Lillian came and told me, bad news, your mom's died. And I was so devastated by that. In that time, just for a moment, I thought, I can hold it together. I suddenly was kind of holding it together. I'm a tough man. I can just tough it out. I'm on the train and I'm kind of feeling tears rolling down my eyes. I'm thinking, what's going on here, man? This is not me, man. People think, this guy's kind of, you know, this guy needs mental assistance. What's happening with him? And I went home and I remember always running up the stairs and bawling like one of those old time mamas. Hallelujah. I was bawling, but it was important that I mourned. Something then very interesting happened. We do the funeral, talking about time. Amen. There's a time to mourn, is there not? And there's a time to laugh. Does it say that? Yeah. There's a breakthrough for some of you who've lost someone. There's a time to mourn, there's a time to laugh. I went through my time of mourning. We went to the burial ground. We laid my mother in the ground, or her body in the ground. I looked at the gravestone. I looked at her life, her beginning and her end. And I tried to cry, but there was nothing left. And the Lord said to me, you're not coming here again. And I've never been back there again. And it's not disrespect. And I believe that that's what you do there. What I want to say is this. I left my grief at the graveside. Today, when I mention my mother, all I've got is jokes. In other words, the mourning has now turned to laughter. Do you understand? Because I was able to mourn only, but I only came to laughter because I mourned. Do you understand? And if you haven't mourned, you will not qualify for laughter. Do you understand that? So I want to say to you, if you've lost something and you've never told anyone about it, you've never put it before God. Man, my husband left me and I've just been toughening it out. My wife left me, I've been toughening it out. I lost that job. Man, what they said about me hurt me, you know. Now, we're good at telling people to move on and move on. I appreciate that. But there's a time to mourn and there's a time to laugh. There's a time. In other words, if it's the time when you just got to stop and say, Lord, let me shut the door. This has been terrible. Take time out and go through your process. Do you understand this?
Yes.
Amen?
Yes.
Do you get this?
Yes.
Yeah? There's a time for every purpose under heaven. Amen? Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise God. Now, let's go on because we are only just laying some foundations here. The next thing we need to understand about time is God has appointed a time for every purpose. Whatever purpose, whatever you want to achieve, whatever you're believing God for, God says, I've put a time when that's going to happen. The challenge for you is to be ready for when your time comes. You don't pray for time. You don't beseech God, speed up the time. Who's got a watch in here? Now we've got mobile phones. Anyone got a watch in here? One watch in the house. Pastor Isaac has a watch. Amen. Praise God.
Amen.
No, I don't need it. But hear this carefully. No matter how much he prays and prophesies to that watch, the time ain't going to go forward any quicker. It ain't going to go backwards. And it ain't going to stop. Unless he mashes up the watch. But it's a good watch. But hear this carefully. You can't speed time up. You can't slow it down. It just happens. It goes round and round in a cycle. Do you understand this? So, what God says, I've got a time when you're going to get that house. I've got a time when you're going to get that job. If it's in God's will, let's catch this. If it's in God's will, God said, the will is not the issue. I want to bless you. I want you to get that house. I want you to get married. I want you to be prosperous. I want you to be blessed. All these wonderful things. But I'm going to set a time upon every single purpose that I have for your life. You understand this? So your maturity now is being ready for when your time comes. And the problem at times is you're not ready. Your time comes and passes and you wasn't ready. You missed it. Amen. Don't miss your time. As the Bible says, don't miss your day or time of visitation. Do you see it? Amen. You getting anything out of this? You understanding this? Times and seasons. There's a time for every purpose. Amen. Oh God. So much to say. Here's another thing you see in Ecclesiastes chapter 3. The pattern is this. Because this is strange. This is what offends us about this scripture. You move from destruction to blessing. It's as if it's a negative and a positive. We have preached the gospel to people that God is only interested in the positive. We have told people God only wants to bless you. God only wants to do good things for you. How many people know this Bible is confronting that theology by saying, actually, sorry, there's going to be times you're going to have to mourn. There's going to be times when you're going to lose it all. There's going to be times, oh goodness me, you may lose that business. You may lose that job. I'm going to even get more radical. You may lose a house. It doesn't mean to say you're out of the will of God. Could it be that even in the things we are calling calamities, God has a purpose that he was working out in it? Because the Bible says there's a time and a season for every purpose under heaven. So if something happened and your prayer couldn't stop it, your fasting couldn't stop it, the prophets who came to the church couldn't stop it, it just happened to you, and it happened at a point in time, there was a purpose behind it. Amen? Do you understand this? Praise the Lord. You understand this? So there's a purpose behind it. So when people talk about time, and people say, well, you've got to mature in time, well, that's a dangerous statement, because we now know what God means when he says, take time. There's a time for it. Hold on. That's a scary statement. Because guess what's going to happen if God's going to say, son, I'm going to raise you up, but I'm going to use time to do it. Hold on. Catch this. So you need to really hear this. If God's promised you something, but you know there's a time for it, guess between now and then, can I just let you into some of the things that might happen? Here's what it says. Time to be born, time to die, time to plant, time to pluck up what is planted, etc., etc. In other words, any of those things, and as they say on the X Factor, in no particular order, some of that stuff can come your way. Because when God thinks of time, he thinks of blessings and calamity at the same time. Time will bring any of those. Amen. Praise God. Now, that's not saying God's not in control. God's in control. That's exactly the point. God is in control. What does Paul say? He quote the Revelation. He said, in all things, God is at work together for good to them that love him, to those who are called according to his purpose. Same idea. Amen. Do you understand this? Praise the Lord. Amen. Now, I want to say this to you. The number one tragedy, the tragedy that we have, the worst tragedy is if you waste time. Because time was given for your purpose. God has given each one of us time. It's what makes the whole humanity as one. We all have this commodity. It's a blessing, it's a gift. Time. How you use it determines the outcome of your life. Do you understand? One of the great challenges if you're raising young people is to get them to respect time. Haven't you done your homework yet? Haven't you cleared up your room yet? Haven't you read that book yet? Haven't you done this yet? Haven't you done this yet? We do that. We say that every day in our house. Haven't you done this yet? In other words, what we are saying is there's a time coming when you won't be able to sit here and get food and shelter for nothing. So use your time. Oh, goodness me. Seed time, harvest time. And if your young people are spending their time on the Xbox and the Wii, if that's all they do, but I'm going to come back to that. If that's all they do, the day will come, the time will come when they're not ready for life. Because seed time, harvest time, they haven't sown anything for that time. So when they go for the job, they haven't got anything to offer in that time because they never use this time to get ready for it. Do you understand this? Now I want to flip it another side so the young people can feel I'm on their side. There is a time for every purpose under heaven. How many people know the purpose of childhood is to be a child? Amen. It is to be a child. Amen. Therefore, they should have some Xbox. They should have some PlayStation. They should have some trips to the cinema. They should have some trips to the swimming pool. In other words, the time for childhood. Make sure the time for young people is spent doing young people stuff. My parents never understood that. My generation never understood that. So I spent service after service in boring prayer meetings with old women wearing everlasting hats and everlasting dresses, telling me about a God that was boring as hell, and I didn't know what they were talking about. Say, get me out of here. When I think about my childhood, I think that my time was taken up. They made me old before my time. I was weary of church. I hated church. I wanted to get out of church. But catch the revelation. We talk about times and seasons. Seed time, harvest time. They never gave me a childhood. They gave me an adulthood. And there's a problem when you take your time and impose it on someone else's time. Amen? Praise God. Do you understand this? Respect time. Oh, goodness. Respect time. Respect time. Just respect time. Amen. There's a time and a season for every purpose under heaven. The Lord said to me, I can say this. He said to me, Lord woke me up while I was walking around the house. The Lord said to me, about all my children, empower them. Time to empower them. Time to get them ready. Okay. So I took my oldest son and said, okay, now you need got to open a bank account now. Getting frightening now. I was a bit scary about that because it means to say I've got to put something in there. Yeah. That's the catch. That's the problem. Yeah. You know, going to bank here. So we went down there to the bank. We sat down there. And then the young man who was opening the account, he then began to pour out his wisdom and said, man, if I was your age again, talk about time again. He said, man, if I knew when I was 16 what I know now, I'd be a millionaire by now. And I took that and said, that's confirmation. We should be here. What am I doing? The wisdom is this. I'm trying to prepare you now in this time for a time to come. There's a time coming when you're going to need a house. You're going to need a car. And you can't come to me anymore. So therefore, prepare yourself now. Amen? For that time to come. Seed time, harvest time. Here's a question for your spirit. What should you be sowing in this time for a time yet to come? Amen? Because that's what time is. That's how you manage time. What should I sow today for tomorrow? Amen? Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise God. You getting this? Amen. Now, we're moving on. Hear this. Jesus Christ, Jesus our Lord. And we're going to get a bit more deeper now. Jesus respected time. Jesus was a ministry on time. Do you remember when he went to the temple, age 12, and he confounded them with his wisdom? His parents come to him and say, man, we were looking for you for 3 days. 3 days? God, what was he doing? He must have been sleeping there, camping out on a ministry. 12 years old. The problem for that is that Jews only release people into ministry age 30. So in other words, he was ahead of time. The Bible says he submitted to them. Although he said, man, I should be about my father's business. But he submits to them. In other words, it wasn't my time yet to go into ministry, so I'll submit myself. Amen. I'll humble myself. Amen. Because it's not yet my time. Amen. Do you see this? Amen. Do you remember the first miracle in John's gospel? He said, we've got no wine, Jesus. Help them out at the wedding. He says, it's not my time yet. It's not my time yet. When he goes to the cross, he then says, for this hour, this time, I have come. Could it be? Certain things are happening in your ministry or not happening in your ministry simply because it's not time yet. Amen? There's a time. There's a time when your ministry will grow. There's a time. There's a time. When you look at some of the things that you are now doing, you think, God, where did this come from? It's the time. There's a time for it. Amen? Do you understand that? Amen. We can be sensitive before the time. That is why. Now, here's the protection. Your enemies can't kill you before your time. They have no right to kill you because your purpose equals life on earth. Your enemies have no authority to kill you before your time. They tried to throw Jesus off the brow of the hill one day. He just walked through them. Just moonwalked through them. Michael Jackson style. Just moonwalked through them. Because it's your time. Amen? Praise God. Now let's go a bit more deeper. Time is about maturity. The Bible says, Ecclesiastes 3 verse 12, I believe. Verse 8, it goes on to say, God has made everything beautiful in its time. Beautiful in its time. Amen. Verse 11, Ecclesiastes 3, verse 11. The word beautiful means mature. Hang on. God has made everything mature in its time. Here's a problem. Because God is eternal, he will often reveal or release his plan before you are ready. Amen. In the natural, a woman begins her cycle before she's ready to ever have a child. Amen. But you don't want your 10-year-old to go out and have a child. That would be a disaster, would it not? Amen. The anointing is just like that. We'll come back to that. When God will do things even before you're ready. God will anoint you before you're ready. David's anointed. I can kill Goliath. I can kill lions and bears. What's the next thing we see? Is he made king? No. Humble your backside and go into Saul's house. Now let's go a bit deeper on this. In Saul's house, he's persecuted. Saul tried to assassinate him. He's lied to. He's betrayed. And all kinds of things happened to him in time, because God used time to mature him. I want to say something radical to you. When God looks at a great ministry, he says, man, you're called and there's a great anointing. The problem with you is, this is going to sound very strange, but we've read Ecclesiastes 3, so you'll know where I'm coming from. God will look at it and say, man, now the problem here is no one's lied about you yet. I don't know how your tick is someone lies about you. So I'm going to use time to send some liars against you. No one's gossiped about you in your workplace yet. Let me get some gossips just to mature you, because I've got a great calling on your life, but I need to mature you. So I'm going to send a few gossips to you. You're talking about, I'm going to use you, but man, let me send some financial storms your way. Let's see if you're going to hold out to what you're preaching about. Amen. Times and seasons. Times. God uses time to mature you. He's made everything beautiful in its time. But we know the context when he says that, he's got a whole stack of stuff when he behind time. When he says time, God says, well, there's a time to be born, there's a time to die. So I'm going to send some good stuff in your life, and I'm going to have some things die on you. I'm going to let some stuff, calamities come your way, and I'm going to let blessings come. It's all about maturing you in time. Do you understand this? That's the wisdom of God. God uses time to mature his people. Amen. Praise God. I want to say this to you. When God matures you, he doesn't use easy taskmasters, to be frank. You'll find some of the things that God is using you or sending in your life to mature you, they're not easy. Some of the people you may be called to work with, to serve, they're not easy. God's not here to make it easy, but he is here to make you mature. Amen? Praise God. Do you understand that? Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, I want to come on to something here, because this is what I believe. Have a look, please, with me, because this is, I was standing over the Lord, put this in my spirit just to say to you. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Amen. Time. It's a created reality, and it's for a purpose. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 6. Amen. Here's what Paul says. We speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom of God, we ordained before the ages for our glory. Some translations say, which God ordained before time began. Hear this carefully. When Paul ministered, he spoke of a wisdom that was not from this time period. Not of this age. Now, we're going somewhere with this, because your breakthrough is in what I'm about to say. Every period of time has its own wisdom, has its own knowledge about how to do things. If I was to say to you 100 years ago, well, take me from Peckham to Birmingham, you wouldn't have thought about a car. You might have thought about a horse and a carriage. Amen. That was the wisdom of the time. That was the knowledge of that time. That's the wisdom of that time. Today, look more recently in technology. If I was to say to you, well, phone me at such and such a time, you say, well, I've got to find a phone box. Found a phone box. A phone box on the road. Let me stick my few coins in there and hope it doesn't disconnect before I get through to you. Or my older sister, who had a great habit of always calling connect. So you get a call to say, you know, do you want to accept the reverse call? Oh, that's my sister again. Reverse charges again. Oh, you again. Reverse charges. She was good at that. So in that time, when somebody said communicate, then you have to go to the phone, not the mobile phone, the phone box on the high street. That's how we did it. I tried to make a phone call the other day. First, I was in Sydenham, and I said, oh, I've got to make a phone call. My phone's dead. My mobile phone's dead. Let me make a quick phone call. Jump out of the car, and then the phone wouldn't work. We've now moved from that time. We've now so moved from that way of communicating that now no one's using it anymore. In other words, that wisdom is now out of date. If I now say to you, call so-and-so, all of you will pick up your mobile phone. In fact, even now, if you even say, turn your Bibles to somewhere, there's only about two Bibles in the whole house. Most people have got mobile phones. So you can, you know, people just pretend they're reading the Bible, right? They're just texting and doing their emails and all the rest of it. Do my work and so forth. I'm guilty. texting. I'll see you on Monday at 11 o'clock. Don't be late. Ah, Jesus is Lord. Amen. Haven't we all done that one? Amen. Praise God. Just me, maybe. Hear this. Here's my point. Every time period has a wisdom, has a knowledge that is a specific to that time. Do you understand? That's right. Now, this is then interesting. I'm going to come to, so you understand where I'm heading. I'm coming to the things you believe in God for, but you don't seem to have the answer how to get it. I'm coming for that. But hold on. In the Old Testament, do you remember Joseph? Joseph. We'll talk about him a bit more next week, because the man lived a life of cycles. But hold on, let's talk about this. The Bible says, Pharaoh has a dream. And what you just read, we speak of wisdom, not of this age, which none of the rulers of this age understood. Pharaoh says, I've had a dream. I'm going to call the rulers of this age to tell me not just the problem, but tell me what I dreamed. Oh, this is ridiculous. This is like the maths teacher saying on Monday morning, not only do I want you to answer the question, I want you to tell me what the question is. What kind of test is that? That's madness. Here's the point. Joseph comes into that, and based on his gifting and his walk with God, he has a wisdom that none of the rulers of that age could fathom. God gives him a wisdom that he was able to give to Pharaoh how to solve that problem, to deal with the coming time of blessing and the coming time of famine. Now, let me give you my testimony so you understand this, to really catch this. About, I'd say, 8 or 9 years ago, I began my career, and I worked in a legal advice center. And it was hard work, a lot of grinding and hard work, ungrateful clients and, you know, and all kinds of stuff. I got to a place where I hated their guts. Man. Oh, God, you again. Sit down, Mr. Thanks a lot. Oh, God, this man again. And I said, God, if I hear myself giving this advice again, I'm going to climb up that wall. I'm sick. I'm tired of this. Get me out of here. And I remember at that time, and one of my trainees, she was a Muslim girl. I remember it. She said, oh, Winston, I've seen this job in such and such a place. You need to go for it. Now, it was a completely way above my grade, way above my pay grade. Ever been asked to go for a job way above your pay grade?
Yeah.
Amen. Some of you are doing jobs above your pay grade. I know you don't hide. But hear this. This was managing a team. I've only just managed some little people in some little advice center. Okay. So I remember we went on holiday. We were going on holiday. So I filled in the application on the way to the airport. We posted it in the airport lobby. And I thought, oh, nothing will happen to that. Another 7 years of this grind. And they called me for an interview. And this is an interesting interview. Because they said, this is like the job from hell. It was good money. He was managing a department. I've never done it before. And how the interview went like this. They said, we've got a problem here. You've read the problem. Their strategy was, we're in a mess. Can you solve it? We're going to give you 45 minutes to write out your ideas. They put me in a room, shut the door, give me a blank piece of paper, and I said, God, get me out of here. So I then have to pray in the spirit. Amen. Remember what I said, every time period has its wisdom. But we speak of wisdom not of this age, not of this time. So I began to pray in the spirit. Hope they don't hear me. Hallelujah. And I then begin to write down some ideas how I'd solve this issue. And this was a basket case employer. Yeah, I mean, whoever mentioned the organization. And I went back in there and I presented my ideas and they said, we've never heard this before. We have never heard this before. And I get the job. Get the job. Yeah? It's a good place to clap. Good place to clap. Good place to clap. Good place to clap. Hear this carefully. Now, this then is very interesting. Because when I get into manage, my fellow peers who are managers with me have between them about 50 years experience. So I was promoted to people who, oh goodness me, they had come up the ranks of the wisdom of the age. They had spent their time. They'd worked, they're good people, I'm not criticizing them. They had done their time. They'd worked up the ladder and they qualified in time to get there. I was just a young whippersnapper. I didn't have their years of experience. In other words, I didn't have the time. I didn't have the wisdom of this age. but I had a wisdom from another age. You understand? So because God gave me that wisdom, I was able to step in there and stand as an equal amongst men.
Hallelujah.
Yeah? Why? Because there's a wisdom, my friend, that is beyond this time. Remember what I said, every time has its wisdom. But God is not limited to time to give you wisdom. Do you understand this? Do you understand this? Now, here's where I'm coming to. Because when we were trying to get our first house, and we sat down with the mortgage company and said, you'll need £8,000 for this, you know. And Lillian, who was obviously clearly rebellious and so forth, he said, have you got £8,000? And I looked at my shoes. I was hoping to find £8,000 down there. And she said, yes, we've got it. I said, you're lying. Now, either you've got another man I don't know about, or you're lying. Because we didn't have £8,000. But between then and within a week, we had the wisdom how to get it. Amen. Now, hear this carefully so you get this. The rulers of this age, the financial advisor, he's a ruler of this age. And his wisdom is enough respect. What he said is true. You ain't got the income. You ain't got the income. So you should not qualify for this blessing. But I want to tell you today, you have access to a supernatural wisdom that supersedes that of the rulers of this age. Because Paul said, we speak a wisdom not of this age, not of what the financial advisors are telling you. We have a wisdom that the banks don't know, that the creditors don't know. We've got a wisdom that those who mark your credit score don't know. You don't qualify for that house. You don't qualify to get out of that council place. But God's going to give you a wisdom, as he gave Joseph a wisdom, that will supersede your time. And you'll get things ahead of time because you're getting a wisdom that doesn't come from time. It comes from eternity. Do you understand this? Amen. How many people right now in the sound of my voice are believing God for something and you've been stuck in that thing for years? I've been in this house for years, I hate it. I've been in a council place for years, I hate it. I've been in a flat for years, I hate it. I want to get out. But the financial advisors, the wisdom of this age tells me it's going to take me at least 10 years to get out. They're telling me I don't have enough income to afford it, to get out of this situation. In other words, they're saying you don't have time. That's the wisdom of time, your time. God has a wisdom he wants to give you to get ahead of time what he wants to give you. Do you understand this?
Amen.
Amen. Do you get this?
Amen.
You get it. God's not limited to time. He created it. He's not limited to it. Amen. How many people remember the story? And I heard a minister say this. So this really got me excited. So I hope it excites you. And back to Lazarus again. Jesus says, man, he goes to raise Lazarus. One of the sisters comes to him and says, Lord, he said, Lazarus, he's going to live again. And she says, well, I know that he will be raised at the resurrection, at the end of time. Jesus says, but I am the resurrection. In other words, you don't have to wait for time to bring it. Because with faith, it pulls from heaven that which you only qualify for in time, years ahead. God's not limited to time. Do you understand? Do you remember the woman who he said, man, well, heal me. He said, it's not meet for us to give you the bread from the children's table. She had a revelation, but even the dogs eat from the master's table. The point is, Jesus wasn't sent to the Gentiles, he was sent to the Jews. But ahead of that time, she as a Gentile receives a miracle because her faith goes outside of time. Amen. So God can give you a faith to pull something from God that actually in time you're not ready for yet. Do you understand this? Amen. And I got a job, I told you, not based on time, because in time I didn't qualify. Do you understand this? Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, praise the Lord. Amen. Just going to give you this very quickly. Have a look with me, please. Ephesians chapter chapter 5, verse 15 to 20. I just want to deal with this finally. If I tell you about seasons, I want to tell you about redeeming time. How many people know that time can be redeemed? Amen. It's a profound thing. We need to understand what this means. I've heard different shades of this. I'll give you the revelation that I see on this. Amen. Very profound. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15 to 20. Amen. It says, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Do not be drunk with wine, which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God." Amen. Now, many of us have heard, redeem the time. How can you redeem time? Because I redeem my mortgage. It's a transaction. Time is likened as if it's money. You can actually redeem it. I want to submit to you this. First of all, let's understand this. When he talks about time, he uses the word kairos, which means the opportune time. In other words, what's being redeemed here is not how much time you have, but it's the quality of time. What he's trying to say, pull back the purpose for time. Get back the purpose for time. If you're wasting time, there's a revelation here about how we redeem the purpose why we are here. We need to lay a foundation so we understand what we're saying here. He says, don't be drunk with wine. Trust me, the Bible's not so much concerned about wine. The big deal here isn't about being drunk. But why is the Bible concerned about drink? Alcohol just speaks of anything which dulls the senses. Your wine might be the job you do. You're drunk with your job. Because you're drunk with your job, you're misusing your time. You're not fulfilling your purpose. When you're time to read your Bible, you're too tired. Amen. When it's time to do what you're meant to do, you're drunk with something else. You may be drunk with a job. You may be drunk with a relationship. You could be drunk with church activities. I grew up in a house of churchaholics. My dad was a churchaholic. Everything was church, 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 church. You were drunk with church. Not God. Church. Churchianity. We were drunk with it. Anything that you take that dulls your senses is wine. And the Bible says, don't be drunk with it. But he goes on to say something profound. He says, redeem the time. Then he goes on to define how you redeem it. He says, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord. What's he saying? Do you remember when I said at the beginning, time came out of eternity? He says, when you worship, go back to the source of time. And God will give you wisdom how to use that time. God will restore the purpose for your time. Do you remember Paul and Silas were in prison? In prison. That means their time was on hold. What did they do? They began to praise and worship. As they praised and worshipped, the jail was opened and the prisoner was saved. What happened? You see, when they were in prison, their purpose was on hold. They're called to preach the gospel. They're called to win people to Christ. But somebody had a revelation. We need to redeem this time. We need to get back our time. We are called to save people. Let's begin to, oh goodness me, we need to worship God. As they began to worship God, God then begins to say, man, I'm going to return. I'm going to redeem the time back to you. And their purpose kicked in again. People got saved. Do you understand this? In other words, when you worship, this is now why we understand why you should spend time in the morning, ideally, praising God. It's not just a good thing to do. God will make sure that time, that day is spent wisely and effectively. Bring God into your time because God is the Lord of time and he will bring back time for you. He will show you how to use time, how to be effective in that time. Do you understand this? Amen. Did you get that?
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Someone save me. I am on time. I am on time, on time, on time, on time, on time. Yes, we're on time, on time, on time. I want to talk to you about seasons. Amen. Amen. How many seasons are there in this year? In a year? Four seasons. Amen. You know, there's some parts of the world they only have two, or they have six. Depends on the part of the world you're in. Summer, spring, winter, autumn. Did I catch them all? Amen. I hope I did. God is a God of times and seasons. seasons. A season is a succession of time characterized by specific events. A season. Do you know when the early church was born? It said, Peter said this, God will send times of refreshing from his presence. So God sends time. He sends seasons. Amen? How many people know that your prayer life and your life in general is subject to times and seasons? The Bible says, if you're diligent, if you're faithful, you shall reap in due season. Amen? So there's a season for that blessing to come. Now, what's a season? Because this is very profound. Very profound. A season is a corporate move of God in a specific dimension. When God sends a season, it's no longer you alone. You'll find in a season, you'll get three job offers. And not just one. Because it's a season. You see, when it rainy season, everything gets wet. Have you noticed a season of blessing in the house? Everyone's getting blessed. What's happening here? What, you're doing good at school? You're doing good at work? The bills are being paid? The mortgage is being paid off? Everything's, but what's happening here? There's a season of blessing. Amen? When a season hits a church in a particular dimension, everyone's getting healed. I never knew so many cancers within the church. Everyone's getting healed of cancer. Everyone's being healed. Amen? But remember, times and seasons, it may then pass. And then we get offended at God because he's not doing it. And then when we get religious, we then try and make God do things that he was doing yesterday, but that's the time of the season for it. It's not the time of the season for it now. So shut your mouth and just be sensitive and let the man of God do what he's called to do. Amen? But that's another preach. Hear this, what I want to say to you. When a season comes, your job is not to make it happen. Your job is to step into the season. Do you understand this? When Jesus' season came after the wilderness, after the time in the wilderness, the Bible says he then left the wilderness in the power of the Spirit. He now entered into his season, a season. Do you understand this? Let me say this to you because I think I just need to make this a bit clearer. If you look at certain movements in the church, take the faith movement, you'll find that many of these men, women of God, they all came around the same kind of time. Copeland, Avanzini, Benny Hinn, whatever they are. Whatever you think about these ministers, I believe these are all good people. You know, don't mean to say I agree with everything they do, but let's give honor where it's due. They all came at the same time. It's as if there's a season when God was releasing this. Very empowered, very important. Here's what Paul said. Man, I came to faith as one born out of season. He says, I'm the least of the apostles because I was born out of season because I persecuted the church. What does he imply? There was a season when God was raising up apostles. There was a season for it. There's a season when God's raising up people. Amen. You are going to have a season. You want a business? Trust me, there's a season coming when it won't be your efforts that are trying to make it happen. It will be a season. And when the season comes, the bank manager calls you, you don't call the bank. Yeah. Amen. When the season comes, goodness, he's very powerful. A season is a corporate thing. A season, oh goodness me, a season is an environmental thing. Yeah. In a season, the whole environment is conducive to that one thing. Yeah. Amen. Here's what Psalm 1 says. So we all get some scripture. So you know, I'm not just talking out my head. The Bible says, to the prosperous man, he yields fruit in its season. The fruit, every fruit has a season. What are you looking to bear fruit? What's the fruit? What are you believing God for? It's fruit in God's eyes. God says, man, I want that fruit. I've put that in your heart. You're going to have that business. You're going to have that job. You're going to have that ministry. I'm going to send a season for it. There's a season that's coming for it. And when the season comes, you step into the season. You step into it. You step into it. You step into seasons. You understand? We are now in a season right now. I'll tell you what. I went to do a radio interview a couple of weeks ago. I didn't really say that to boast. I know that sounds like Hollywood, but praise the Lord. And it's interesting because I spoke to him and then he said, you know what, Brother Winston? Would you like to come and do more teachings for us? I said, well, I can do a few, but no, we want you to do a bit more for us. And then the Lord put this in my spirit today. He says, just so you know. Well, I'm saying just so you know, but this is what the Lord said. Broadcasters are going to start to call. Because you're stepping into a season of your ministry. Now, I haven't asked for it. I haven't beseeched him for it. I haven't put out any business cards. I haven't even checked the website. I hope it's up there. I'm told it's up there. There's a man on the camera there who tells me he's been involved in doing some of it. But it's a season. So guess what? I'm just stepping into it. And I'm only here today because there's a season to teach and to minister. So I'm stepping into my season. Do you understand? And I want to tell you, you are going to have a season. Your season is coming. Amen. Your season is coming. Now, amen. I want to say to you, don't pray for a season. You don't need to pray for seasons. They just come. Amen. Now, I want to be clear about this so we don't just run off with that promise. We need to be clear about the condition or the principle by which we enter into a season. Here's Galatians chapter 6, amen, verse 9. In fact, let me read from verse 6, just the context. Just hear this carefully, because this needs to bring this alive. Seasons, my season. Am I going to have a season? God's going to send a season. Wow, powerful. Hear this. Galatians chapter 6, verse 6. Let him who is taught in the word share all good things with him who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Wherever a man sows, that he will also reap. We saw that. That's about time. We sow and reap in time. Hear this. He who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. He who sows to the spirit will of the spirit reap everlasting life. Verse 9 is the key text. Let us not grow weary while doing good. For in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Let me read it again, just in case your spirit hasn't caught the revelation I'm about to declare with my mouth. Let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Here's the key. Those who get a season are those who are faithful in time. You've got to be proven as faithful in time before you ever get your season. Do you understand this? Amen. Now, I'm only talking here about positive seasons, seasons of blessing, seasons of promotion. I understand there's seasons of testing. I understand I'm not coming against that. That's important. We're now talking about the season when God wants to bless you and bring to pass what he has promised you. There's going to be a season for it. Don't just look for a day. Look for a season. Very powerful. Hear this. Let's look at an example of this. Faithfulness is the key to you ever getting a season. Let's look at this. In the Bible, Elisha stepped into Elijah's season. It is possible to inherit someone else's season. Elijah comes to the young prophet and he just puts his anointing on him. Now, this is very important. Puts his mantle on him and says, I'm off, I'm out of here. I'm going to my retirement home. Get on with it yourself. Elijah says, where are you going? Where are you going? He says, hold on, let me just tell my family I'm coming. Let me follow you. Because there's something interesting. People who get a season have to realize, but where do I need to serve? For I'm ever going to get my season. He follows Elijah and he begins to serve the prophet. Watch carefully. He doesn't put out a business card. He doesn't launch a website. He doesn't do any of that stuff. He serves another man faithfully. What do we say? Galatians 6 verse 9. Yeah. In due season. All right. So before your season, who are you serving, man? Are you doing good? Are you serving anyone? Are you working on anything? Are you serving? Amen. He works and he serves the prophet. And when the prophet goes, he then enters into his own season of ministry. Do you understand that? Very profound thing. Here's what the Bible says about leadership. He says, to young people, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and he will exalt you in due season. Same idea. In other words, you don't worry. You see, a minister of the gospel, a pastor, whoever's head of a ministry, he can have the greatest hopes for you as much as he wants or she wants. But unless you serve, God won't send the season of promotion. No, you won't have a season. You can go and get a degree. You can get a theology degree. That doesn't mean to say God sent a season. You just got a qualification, but you're still staying where you are. Spiritually, you haven't moved anywhere. Amen? So can I encourage you in this? You want your season? Serve. Keep doing what you're doing. Do good, do good, do good, do good, do good. Before I had the season of promotion, I had to work in a job I hated. I had to serve clients with a smile, although I hated their guts. I had to work. Good to see Mrs. Jones. Here she goes again. This bloody housing problem again. So good. Take your seat. So wonderful. Yeah? I had to do good, do good, do good, do good. You got to say, shut your mouth. What's God saying? Shut your mouth. I want to send a season of promotion to your life. So just do good here. Serve here. Your season will come. Amen? Let me say this. If you're in a job right now, and I was like, this was me, because I had a dream to run my own business. It's always been my dream. But I had to work faithfully in another man's before God ever gave me my own. If you want God to send your season, make sure you are serving faithfully right now. Amen. I heard someone say this and I'll say it to you. God never sent a season without a purpose. Amen. In other words, your purpose calls for a season. Your purpose will need a season to come where it comes to pass. Moses, you may remember, he saw two of his brethren fighting and he said, I'm going to take things into my hands. I'm going to sort this out myself, boys. See you outside, mate. And he took them out. But it wasn't his season yet. So God sent him in the wilderness. Go work for those people with those dirty sheep over there. Go and serve. Go and do good to someone else. Don't grow weary in well-doing. And it took 40 years to work that character in him. And after the 40 years, God sends the season of deliverance. Very powerful. But you and I both know, this is interesting. Moses never completed his season because he struck the rock. And so God had to raise up another. Amen. Praise God. Hear this carefully. God's going to send a season of blessing to you. Absolutely. Amen. What you believe in God for, there are times and there are seasons. And God is in control of both. Amen. There's a season that's coming. Amen. There's a season.